Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. So much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's hour two, and I'm really glad to have you along today. And if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with author and pastor Lee Cummings. We opened the Bible. We took that story of Jonah, and I'm telling you what, Lee unpacked that in a way that you've got to hear. So many applications to us today. So you need to go back if you can. When you get a minute, go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and catch the podcast. You'll be glad that you did. Now it's time for an artist corner. You know we love to highlight artists on the show. We just had Jeremy Camp on last week, and we get so many great artists here. Well, I'm excited to bring to you Chris August. I know that you've heard his music before, and I don't want to waste another moment. We're going to play some songs from his album. We're going to get some backstory behind the songs and hear a little bit about Chris's faith journey. So let me tell you about him. We'll get him on the show. Chris August is a singer-songwriter whose singles include Restore, You and I, and Starry Night. He's a native of Texas, has been named New Artist of the Year, Male Vocalist of the Year, and Pop Contemporary Album of the Year at the 42nd Annual GMA Dev Awards. You can find his music on the web at chrisaugustmusic.com. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you with us today, sir. Well, we love to open the show talking scripture, just a great way to bring the word to life, where if there's a verse that God's talking to you about and you can unpack it, it really stirs the faith of others who are listening. And love the passage you chose today, Psalm 124:8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Talk about that passage and why you chose it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was working on my new record, and I have my new single, a song called The Maker. And when I was putting it out, I kind of came across that verse. You know, I always like to, you know, there's obviously many names for the Lord, you know, and mm-hmm. like from Emmanuel and, you know, whatever, you know, so many names. And that verse, I came across it because a friend was telling me about it. And it was funny because I had just gone through this whole thing while writing my new record that, you know, this is, you know, the healing that the Lord had done in my life and just so many things. And so when I saw that, like it put a lot of the songs that are on the record that I have that's coming out, it kind of put them together. And so it just meant so much to me. So that verse has been on my heart like crazy for the past, you know, month, and just thinking about it. I love it. Just our help is in him, you know, and I just love saying the maker. I don't know what, because I like creation. I like thinking about this. I like looking at the stars in the sky. I mean, I have a song called Starry Night. So for me, it's just something special. And to think that the maker of all this, you know, yet lives inside of us, that's crazy to me. And so that's one of the reasons, main reason why I love that verse so much.
You might want to go to Chris's website and see the music video of Maker, because you're out in the outdoors and you're hiking and you're, you know, got a bonfire and you're, you know, just under God's creation and you're throwing your arms up in the air. And it just brings this 3D picture of the fact that you love the Maker and the Maker loves you. And such a reminder for all of us that the star breathing God takes infinite delight in us. I mean, truly, that's enough to keep us grounded every day, isn't it?
Yo, man, it really is. It's a very humbling experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, tell us a bit about your backstory, your faith backstory, how you came to Christ, and then how you first discovered you had a gift in music.
Well, I came to Christ because, I mean, I grew up with the belief, you know, I mean, it was like we were kind of taught with the Christian belief, but not to where, you know, it wasn't like it was a big part of my life. And when I was 15, I got invited to go to a church service, and it just so happens this girl was kind of cute. I mean, so I went, and you know, her mom picked me up at my house and everything. It was funny looking back. And so I went, and then there was free pizza there. So I was like, this is incredible.
I love this Christian stuff.
Yeah, it was like, awesome. You know, I would totally come back. And then each week that youth pastor was a youth event, you know, one of the Sunday night kind of youth group event. And I went back the next week, and the next week, and the youth pastor was telling the gospel every single week, and I heard it, and I said, that's mm-hmm. what I believe. And I gave my life to Christ thanks to a nice young lady and some free pizza.
Wow. And when did you start doing music?
Well, you know, it's funny. I grew up singing. I grew up around it. My dad played and my older brother played. You know, you always want to, you have an older sibling, you want to be cool. Like, you think they're so cool. You're like, I want to be cool like them, you know? So like, I want to play an instrument and I want to sing, you know? So I just, at a real young age, I was always around it, but it wasn't until I was 15, which is funny enough, that's the same time I started going to church. I got my first keyboard and so I was learning music right at the same time I was learning about God. And so for me, a lot of the times at that moment, I would take worship songs that are usually written so the average Joe can play them at church. And I'm glad, because I didn't know how to play anything. And I was like, I'm going to learn some chords. I'm going to lead these songs, you know, for the youth group. And so I would learn them on the keyboard. And that's kind of when I started really getting into music and learning how to play.
Wow. Okay, so give us the backstory behind the title of your album, The Upside of Down. Explain that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, I had right after all this, like, I had a skateboard accident, and people thought that I had written that song about my skateboard accident, but I had a brain bleed, brain swelling. It was, like, a pretty serious thing. I was in ICU, and you think The Upside of Down. I was like, no, actually, I wrote that song, didn't have the skateboard accident. Then I started wondering if maybe I had prophesied something. And I was like, maybe I should have written a song about, like, Disney World or something. That would have prophesied myself having a much easier year. But, you know, but in all that to say, you know, I was actually kind of glad I wrote it, because when I did have that accident, that song was, you know, sometimes you write these songs and then, you know, it speaks to other people, but sometimes they speak to yourself too, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was speaking back at me after I'd already written from personal experience. Now I had another experience, and I'm thinking, man, sometimes it's in these moments that we are hurt, you know, that we can really appreciate what God does. You know, it's easy in the good times. Oh, thank you, Lord, for all this. But like, to say thank you when I'm in the hospital, you know, having a pretty scary moment, I'm in ICU and I don't know what's about to happen, that's a little harder, you know, but that's the beauty. You know, it's like the Bible says, in the midst of our sin, Christ died for us. Yeah. Even in our mistakes, even in this fallen world, he's there. He doesn't leave our side. And man, I had to learn about his strength in that moment. And so for me, that song took on even more of a meaning, you know, that he is the strength in my weakness. Cause I was literally, I mean, I couldn't walk. There's a lot I couldn't do, you know, and I couldn't go get food. I had to depend on people. And so I had to really learn what it meant. Cause in that second verse, when I say that, you know, I'm like, man, I have to really learn what I mean, you know, cause sometimes we say a lot of things as Christians, and because we were just taught them and we heard it at church and it just sounds good and you say it so much, you just kind of become numb to it. But then you got to really learn what it means every once in a while, and you get reminded of how powerful Christ is and how good his healing is. And that's, for me, that's what that song is.
And you got to decide, do I really believe this stuff? Am I parroting it, or is this something that's in my bones that I've shifted my weight onto? So that's the title of Chris's album, The Upside of Down. The song that we've got queued up for now, if you wouldn't mind just giving us a little backstory, is called Center of It. Talk about that song real quick before we play it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, that was the first song I had written for that record. And I got together with a friend of mine, and we had written the chorus. And some songs come real easy. Like, you'll write it in an hour. I mean, it's crazy. And you're like, how did I write that so fast? And then some songs, you got to work for them. And this was one of those. We got together, and we had written that chorus, and we were slaving over it, just like, how do we get this? How do we get this? And then, you know, just couldn't get anything. And finally, I think it is maybe 7 months later, I had written almost the entire rest of the record.
Wow.
And I went back to my friend. I was like, Ben, because that's his name. I'm just kidding. yeah, I said, Ben, his name's really Matthew. No, I'm just kidding. So I say, Ben, look, we got to finish this song. I really like this chorus, and it means a lot to me. You know, just in the good and the bad, that Christ is there, you know, and I just, I don't know, there's something about, maybe because I wasn't raised in church, or maybe just, I'm like a lot of us, you know, you have a heart for people that are struggling. And I just like to remind people that no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, that Christ loves you just as much as he ever did and ever will. And let me tell you, that's more than you could ever even fathom.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, when I'm writing that song, that's what it meant to me. And so I really wanted to finish it. So I got together with him and this was like kind of, you know, the 11th hour kind of deal. And we finished the song and recorded it. And it, for me personally, turned out to be one of my favorites on the record. And it was the first single off that record. And I get to sing it almost every night, and I still love singing it.
That's so great. It was worth the work. I mean, some things just come in an abundance of grace. Others, you have to grind out with those little gray steps at a time. But, wow, the final outcome was worth it. Let's hear Chris August sing Center of It. Songwriter Chris August. When we come back, we're going to hear more of his songs off the album, The Upside of Down, play more of his music. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I love this music. I'm talking today, the second hour, to Chris August. He's a singer-songwriter, award-winning at that. And we're pulling some songs off of his album, The Upside of Down. He's giving us a little backstory. And I love the gift of God in you, Chris. I love the way you're putting your songs together. It just puts a smile on my face.
Oh, thank you very much. I bet you put a smile on my face.
Right.
I appreciate that.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay, you got to talk to me about the song Amen. I love this song. So tell me more about this one.
Oh my goodness. This is one of my favorites I've ever written. You know, I grew up listening to R&B music, soulful music. And so I grew up on like Stevie Wonder and Chuck Berry and stuff like that when I was a real little kid. And so I just have it in my bones. Like it's just, feels up to me. I'd probably be doing just mostly soulful R&B pop stuff, you know, but I love it all too. I mean, because I also had a side where I grew up listening to the Beatles. So then there's the part of me that wants to do the singer songwriter thing. So it's fun. I get to kind of play, you know, put on different hats at different times. And for me, that's the Amen song was a time I got to take it to church. I like to say just to have some soulful moment on the record and put that choir on there and have that organ going. And I just, I remember sitting down writing that song. And it's just, and just thinking, the kingdom's coming. You know, I wanted to write a song called Amen because I kept singing that Amen, Amen, and the people said Amen. And I kept thinking that, and I was like, well, if you're going to write a song that says that, you better write it about something that everybody believes, because, you know, you don't write it about any sort of controversial thing. Just go with the thing. One thing we know is at some point he's coming back, and all everything's going to be healed. And so
indeed.
I was like, well, we can write about that. And so that's kind of where that took that turn.
So good. You're going to love this song, Amen, off of Chris August's album, The Upside of Down.
This world is full of people, the weary and the poor, waiting for the day when they will hurt no more. Though this world is full of suffering, these promises are true. We hold on to the hope that the day is coming soon. So amen. Said amen. The troubles of this world, they come into an end. And all my brothers and my sisters, let me hear it again. The kingdom is coming, and the people said amen. Addictions are disease, but I'm telling you there's someone who will set your spirit free. His name is Jesus, and his blood redeems. So amen, amen, and the people said amen. The troubles of this world, they come into an end. And all my brothers and my sisters, let me hear it again. The kingdom is coming, and the people said, then you know.
is coming, y'all. I can't even tell you how much I love that. That I got some soulfulness in me, if I can just say. I mean, that just makes my heart beat out of my chest. I love it so much.
Well done.
My goodness. Well, we just have a couple minutes before we take a break. But what's it like for you? I mean, I know most of the other artists we have on the show don't, you know, they love the opportunity of the longer talk format to be able to sit back and listen to their own music from a listener perspective. What is that like for you to sit back and listen to the work you've worked so hard, the product that you've put so much into?
Yeah, you know, it's always interesting. I like to think of, you know, recently of even more, because I was reminded as I've been working on a new record, and I'm, you know, you write these songs and, you know, spend 2 years writing songs and then recording the thing. And then by the time it's done and it's, you know, out and people can get it and hear it. And then, you know, you get to kind of look back at your life. And it's kind of like if someone kept a journal or a diary, you know, you look back at what the Lord did in your life, what he was showing you, what he was doing. And it's a special thing for me because, you know, I listened to a song like that and I can remember what I was thinking about. I remember where I was when I wrote it, you know, and where I was when I recorded it and some of the fun times we had in the studio, you know, when I had that choir in, you know, and you know, just it's fun. So I'll smile and I'll just like listening to it. And I'm like, man, that was funny. You know, just some of the jokes that happen. And it's just fun. I love making music. And so it's fun to go back and especially a song like that, which, you know, a lot of times as where I'm at in my career, I'm usually maybe opening for an artist like, you know, Toby Mac or Mercy Me. So I'm just the opener, you know, and so I don't, you know, I may not sing a full set. So if it's not one of the singles that was out on the radio, maybe I don't sing it. So, I mean, it's probably been at least 2 years or so since I've even sung that song. So I'm sitting here thinking like, This sounds fun. I'm gonna put it back in the set.
You totally have to put it back in the set. You'll get everybody on their feet for sure. My goodness, it's amazing.
Sounds fun.
And you know that process of going through the preparation for promotion. I mean, it just really is a process that keeps us humble and expectant. So you keep walking, man, because this is good stuff, and the gift of God in you is so evident. So when we come back, we're going to hear more songs off of Chris's album. I'm going to give you a chance to ask Chris a question if you've got one, opening the phone lines just this one time, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. More with Chris August in a moment. Love this show today, having such a great conversation with Chris August. He's an award-winning singer-songwriter, wonderful man of God, and his music is just excellent. So we're playing songs off of his album, The Upside of Down. And Chris, you've got a backstory for these songs, and I love that, appreciate that so much. So tell us about the song Restore.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's see here. I got to see. Now, there's a... the main part of the story, then there, I'm going to give you a little extra part of the story because sometimes it's interesting how the Lord works. And I don't always tell this part of it because it's actually kind of funny in a way. So, and when you hear a song like Restore and what it's about, I mean, it's not necessarily a funny matter. It's an incredible thing. But see, it started because I have a song called 7x70. And off my first record, and I come from a broken home, broken family kind of deal. And, you know, I was just sat and was writing a song about, you know, what hurt me as a kid and what I went through. But then as I'm writing that song, the Lord started teaching me about forgiveness. And so that song took a turn in the middle of writing it and ended up being a song about forgiveness. And I had husbands and wives like coming up to me and after all these shows and saying like, man, we heard this song, it inspired us and God healed our marriage. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. And so I was thinking about that, like how so incredible. And I knew I wanted to write a song about it, but the song hadn't come yet. And so I was thinking, well, at some point I'll write that song. Well, fast forward, I'm in India on a mission trip with just one friend of mine, a guy named Ian Eskelin, who I had written many songs with. And
we're just there kind of on our own thing, not with an organization or anything, just me and him. Went to India to do a little mission trip thing. It was just incredible eye-opening. You know, a lot of times on these mission trips, you go there to help people, and I think you end up getting a million times more blessed than they do, because you just get to, you know, experience the culture and experience what the Lord is doing in such a humbling way. And so I was there, and we were doing like so much. We were there for about 2 weeks, and I mean, we were getting to sing at some places they had never let Christians be in, and we got to tell the gospel, and it was so incredible. And one night we were so tired, and we were eating, and I can't remember what. I mean, I'm not like I like corn dogs and, you know, pizza, and they don't have those there. And so I can remember we were up late, and I was eating, and I was just like, oh man, I'm so tired. I just want to go to bed. And so I remember we're sitting there, and I was joking with Ian, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying I was joking about it, but I was joking in a sarcastic way, because see, I come from that broken home, broken family. And I can remember, like, you know, and this will be a serious moment for a second, but like, I can remember when, you know, the parents bring you in and they say, you know, we're getting divorced, and, you know, who do you want to live with? And you have to answer all these awkward questions, you know, and as a kid, you know, I'm like, not really what you want to put your kids through is hard, you know? But there's circumstances and there's all these things. And I mean, it's a complicated issue. If there was just one blanket, you know, statement I could just say and they would all be better, I mean, then I wish I could. But, you know, but what I do know is that God does heal and he does restore. And so in this moment, though, I was thinking about how I had seen this this billboard. And back when I used to live in Dallas, it said, for a quick and cheap divorce, call, you know, and it had a number. And I was like, my goodness, like, we have made it so easy to just like say, you know what, it's not working for me. Just call it quits and move along. And so I was joking with my friend Ian. And I was like, man, like I want to write a song called Divorce, you know, and it was going to be like a sarcastic song that just pointed out the fact that nobody wants to work for it anymore. You know, no, it's like we've just made it, and society's made it so easy and like so okay with just quitting when it's not good for you. You know, it's like we've become this nation that's just so pampered. And it's like, oh, just be yourself, you know, even maybe if yourself is the wrong thing. You know, it's like,
even if it costs everybody else, right?
Yeah, it's like last time I read the Bible, it said die to yourself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think we're sending the wrong message these days, but you know, I'm going to write that. That's going to be my next song. Don't be yourself. but
big hit.
We start writing this song called Divorce, and it just, it was kind of silly, but sarcastic, and came from a place in me. And I started by saying, it kind of imagine these kind of campfire chords and me singing, nobody's growing old together, ba-da-boom, boom, da-boom. We've made it easy just to quit. You know, so I go, we're joking around, we're kind of laughing, and then we go to sleep. Well, we're sharing a hotel room, and I wake up in the middle of the night, probably 3 a.m, and I have this little baby miniature guitar that I bring with me to write, to do writing with and stuff. And so I have my guitar, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and for some reason that line is on my heart, but I had this other chord progression in my head. Like, this is not a usual thing. I don't wake up in the middle of the night and start writing songs. I mean, that does not happen to me ever. And so this is actually the only time it's ever happened. So I felt like I was supposed to get up and sing that melody with this other chord. So I get out of my bed. My friend Ian is sleeping. So just imagine me, I'm like sneaking over the guitar, like trying to be really quiet. And I play the chord and I start singing, nobody's growing old together. And in that moment, I knew that the Lord wanted me to write a song about this, and he wanted me to call it Restore. So when we woke up the next day, we were driving up this mountain to this place called Kota Canal in India. And on that drive up the mountain and back, it was about 3.5 hours each way, we wrote that song. And I can remember just being in tears in the van, like what the Lord was putting on my heart, thinking about all these stories. You know, I was so busy focusing on the mistakes that, you know, because that's how we are as human. We're quick to judge, you know, and we're quick to focus on that. We forget that's not how God is at all. You know, he's compassionate and forgiving and you know, loves you know, tremendously and abundantly. And so for me in that moment, I was thinking, I want to write a song that focuses on that, because that's the good news, you know, that's the gospel of it, you know. And so I was sitting there thinking about all these stories I had heard over the last couple of years of, you know, I mean, I heard it all. My husband did this, my wife did this, like stuff that the average person would say, no way, I'm out of here. And that God said, not yet, and has healed their marriage. Mm. I could introduce you to people that, you know, whether it was someone having an affair or just something. I mean, I heard it all, and I also saw the Lord heal their marriage. And so it's crazy when you actually do, you know, it's easy to say, give it up to the Lord, you know, but when you actually do give it up to him and put him in the middle and chase after him, like your life depends on it. Cause sometimes it does, all the time it does, actually. It's crazy what he can do. It's crazy what the Holy Spirit can do. It's crazy that the bitterness and the anger and the walls that you've put up, how they can be removed when you ask him to do it. Oh. And I've seen it happen, and I get it that there's circumstances, and I didn't write this song to offend anybody that maybe it didn't work out. But the good news is of that is that anybody can ask for God's restoration, whether or not the other person makes that, you know, commitment or not. I can tell you that God will restore you. And in the end of the day, all will be restored. You know, we just talked about that with that Amen song. That's when the full healing comes. But when you ask him to restore you, he will do it no matter how many marriages you've had, or if you haven't even had any and you just want to make sure he's right in the first one, then you ask him to restore and he will do it.
Yeah, he will redeem your story. Let's listen to Chris August's song, Restore.
Nobody's growing old together. We've made it easy just to quit. Love has become the negative percentage. Why do we bother to commit? We've got a long list of excuses, ways we try to justify. Well, I propose to you the truth is, marriage does not have to die. I know you're feeling like it's falling apart, and it can't go on anymore. But God is a God who knows how to heal, so just give it up to the Lord, and he will restore. This ring, I promise. And with I do, she said forever. But right now, if they're being honest, they don't know if they'll stay together. Let's fast forward to the future. After struggling on their own, they finally figured out they needed Jesus in the middle. Now I'm watching God rebuild their home. Together, I pray I find a love. love like yours.
Chris August, great music. We're going to take a real quick short break. When we come back, we're going to try to squeeze in a few more songs from Chris. Great conversation today. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We'll be back in a moment.
But he will restore.
About this music, it's like feel-good music with really rich and deep lyrics. So you can clean your house with this thing, you can work out, you can have a time of prayer with the Lord. I mean, I just love it. I love the style and I love your lyrics, and I just celebrate what God's doing through you, Chris. Really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I like to make stuff. I like to write songs and do music that feels good.
Mm-hmm. Definitely does. Well, the time is going by so fast, so I'm going to skip over. I know you've got a song list. I want to jump to Unashamed of You. Tell us about that song. That's really a favorite. That's getting a lot of airplay. I can see why. But tell us just your thoughts and a little bit backstory on that song.
Well, that's actually another song I wrote with my friend Ian Esco, and we've written a bunch together. And, you know, for me, I honestly, especially coming from the mainstream music industry and doing pop music. And I can remember when I first got into this industry, some of my friends obviously were like, well, what are you doing? Like, you know, I wrote a song called Starry Night and I put it on an independent record. And the song was all about me giving my life over to Christ. And it was like a bunch of love songs and then Starry Night. And it stuck out in a way, in an obvious way, and at the time, and my friends were like, why are you putting that song on there? And I'm like, I really like that song. Hmm. And it just means a lot to me. And then that ended up being the song that got me in the music industry. Well, and so it made me even think even more, like, you know, about just being unashamed about it, you know, just being able to just say, oh, well, yeah, this is what I believe. This is it, you know? And I mean, I'll tell you why. I mean, it's like, I remember writing the bridge to Unashamed of You. To this day, it's my favorite bridge I've ever written, you know, and it's just, I don't know, thinking about it, just, I can remember too, when I first became a Christian, when I was 15, I was, you know, so passionate about it. I couldn't help. I just want to like tell people, you know, and, you know, and I never want to bother anybody, you know, you never want to offend, but sometimes you're so busy not wanting to offend or bother someone that you miss an opportunity to tell them, you know, something that could literally save their life.
Yeah.
And so I can remember being younger and I was so bold with it, you know, and I'd look back at the younger me and I'm like, man, maybe I could learn a thing or two from that guy, you know, when it comes to sharing my faith and being unashamed about it. And so I remember sitting down and writing a song calling my friend Ian. I had started the song. I called my friend Ian and said, hey, you got to come over. I started writing a song. I really want you to finish it with me. And so we sat there and wrote it and just talked about what it meant to be unashamed, you know, of the gospel, you know, the cross, and it's the good news, you know. It's I started thinking about it too after I was recording. I'm like, why would I be unashamed? I'm like, it was like incredible. Not only am I unashamed, but I'm like extremely excited about it. That's gonna be the next song. Extremely
exactly.
Excited.
Very good. Extremely excited. When you think about, you know, that you love the Maker and the Maker loves you. I mean, truly, it's sad. It's laughable if it wasn't so sad that at times we act ashamed when it's the one who put the stars in place takes interest in us. I mean, like we care what mere men think. I mean, rather than caring what God thinks. And so, I love this song. So let's listen in to Unashamed of You.
People like me, I've wasted chances to speak up and
love it. I want you to picture yourself out in some park in public with your headphones on, you're listening to this song, and you just throw your arms up in the air and you twirl around. That's what I'm doing this summer. I can't even tell you how much I love that. It is just so amazing. The time has gone by so fast that I'm having to pick and choose which songs we play. I think we have time for one more song and maybe a portion of another, maybe, but he says no. Okay, tell me a little bit about Truth Is Still True.
This was a special moment for me because I got to write it with one of my all-time favorite songwriters, and he's not it's not a household name or anything, but to me, he is. I mean, he's one of my favorites, and I actually had never heard his music until I was in the Christian music industry, and his wife is a girl named Jill Phillips, who's a Christian artist who's incredible, and I was doing a little show. I was a brand-new artist, and I was opening for her. And it was one of those things where, you open and this church had pews. And so they had me like a seat saved, like I was supposed to sit in the pew instead of just kind of sitting backstage and watching. So I was like, all right, well, I'll watch the show from the front pew. Like, sounds good to me. So I sang my song and I sat in the pew and watched her, and she had her husband with her, and I didn't even know he was an artist. And all of a sudden she says, I'm going to let my husband sing a song. And she's just kind of kidding around, and he sings a song and my jaw drops. I mean, I was like, what in the world? Like, hold on a second. Who is this guy? And we did two shows in a row, like a matinee and another show. And then he sang another song that was different. I'm like, okay, this is my new favorite songwriter. He was kind enough to give me all his CDs. He had been doing it for a long time. And I tell you what, it changed the game for me. I mean, I went and listened to these CDs for the next couple of years nonstop, and he became quickly one of my all-time favorite artists. And so his name is Andy Gullihorn, and so by all means, check his music out. And the first song I had heard him sing was a song called Burning Bushes, and it talks about, like, sometimes we're so busy looking up to heaven for a miracle, that we don't realize we're walking through a field of burning bushes.
Wow.
And it's he's one of the best songwriters you will ever hear, and one of the kindest guys you'll ever meet. And so when I started working on this new record, I was like, I'm just going to reach out to him. There's probably no chance I have of him writing a song with me. I'm not that lucky. And so I didn't have his phone number or anything. I was like, I'll just have my record label reach out somehow to him. They knew how to get a hold of him. And so it turns out he was going to do it. And so he said yes, and I was flipping out. And so we fast forward to the writing session. I get there, I'm like so nervous. I'm like, so I was thinking of all these ideas the night before, and we sat there and I said, and right as we were sitting there, I started playing this other thing. And I said, you know what I want to write a song about, actually, now that we're sitting here? And I started thinking about how so many times you go through and, have these moments maybe of doubt. I know I had that some as I was becoming a Christian, even in my Christian walk. You think, man, what if, you just have all these what ifs, and you just have this doubt. I don't know if God can do that, and then all of a sudden it hit me when we were sitting there talking about this. I said, it doesn't matter what state we're in, what stage of the process we're in, if we're in maybe a time when we're doubting or a time if we're questioning, his truth is still true, and sometimes it's like, I look back, I'm like, man, how did the Lord do that while I was, but because his truth is still true no matter what.
We got to put it on because we just have a minute left. And I'm so sorry to cut you off, but I want them to hear at least a minute of this song, if you don't mind, Chris. Okay, let's play.
Play it away.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Good is a heart living without you, living without you. What good is a song that isn't about you, that isn't about you. So I see, oh, I see, I sing your name, though it seems it's all in vain. I know your truth is still true. And what good is the lie that I got it all figured out? I got it all figured out.
Chris August, I love your music, and I want to thank you for spending time with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It really is a pleasure.
Well, I want to mention, too, your CD coming up is The Maker. We'll have to get you back to talk about that one, all right?
Sounds good to me.
God bless you, sir. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's program up on our website, mobile-friendly, that is, at myfaithradio.com. We'll meet you back here tomorrow.